Do you notice that when things start coming at you, it seems that it comes with more than one thing at a time? Not just the Moabites, he probably could have whooped them, but they teamed up with the Amorites and the Midianites, and if they'd have waited long, the Hittites might have showed up. As soon as you get over one thing, it seems like it's something else. And then when that's going on, something pile on. You know, the enemy like to pile on your troubles.
What do you do when you're in the middle of a crisis? Everyone listening to me is probably going through something. Today's message will help you to learn how to pray for God's victory while you're in the middle of a crisis. This is Jerry G. Martin. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Grab a hold of your Bible and repeat after me. Say, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for my teaching, my correction, my rebuking, my training in righteousness, so that I may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to share with you before I get started that I'm going to be as judicious and quickly as I can with this message, but I'm not going to rush it because it is so important of what we're going to share with you today. Because when I look out, I see believers that are so encumbered and are dealing with so many things in our lives that it has rendered many of us ineffective in our ability to be who God called us to be and do what God called us to do. We can't be ambassadors because we are tore down and broke down and sick and injured and depressed and oppressed and all of this. So all we can do is just try to get the church to get a little something for us so we can make it back next week. That's not God's plan. God's plan for you to be victorious, to be strong, to be ambassadors, to be overcomers. There's a song that says, in every life a little rain must fall. I can understand that and I can appreciate that. But we should not expect our lives to be a bed of roses with no issues. I can handle a little rain. What I did not expect to do was to have an experience of a tropical storm, hurricane, with tornadoes and the flood that come with it. These events often come unexpectedly. They affect people of every race, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless. You notice that when Harvey came, he didn't care where you worked, he didn't care what you looked like. The flood waters are the flood waters. If you have never experienced a crisis or tough times when you didn't know what to do, just keep on living. There are many of you here today that are dealing with something that you cannot handle on your own. You're sitting up here right now. There's something that you're dealing with. In fact, I would go to say this, everybody is dealing with something. And many of us are dealing with something that is too tough for us. We can't fix it. If we could fix it, it'd be fixed by now. It may be a health issue, a marital issue, a financial crisis, a family crisis, a fear or a depression, or it may seem like your life is going nowhere and you don't know what to do. Since the beginning of the year, we've been studying about prayer. But today I want to share with you how to pray when you are in a tough time or in a crisis. See, it's one thing to know that you should pray, and it's another one to know how to pray. You are not the only one who have to deal with a crisis. There is likely someone in this place today who is going through what you've been through or what you're going through. There's somebody put a song out to say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. There are certainly those in the scriptures and the Bible who had to respond to impossible crisis moments. Our focus today is going to be on the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was his name. I want you to get to know him because he's going to show us what he did to respond to his crisis, and I want us to do the same thing about our crisis. Jehoshaphat was minding his own business. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, it goes on to begin like this. It says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now, I want to tell you this. Now, let's look at this. Now, not only did the Moabites come to him, the Amorites and the Meunites joined in with the Moabites to destroy the people of Israel. Do you notice that when things start coming at you, it seems that it comes with more than one thing at a time? Not just the Moabites. He probably could have whooped them. But they teamed up with the Amorites and the Meunites, and if they'd have waited long, the Hittites might have showed up. As soon as you get over one thing, it seemed like it's something else. And then when that's going on, something pile on. You know, the enemy like to pile on your troubles. I just can't seem to get out of what I've been going through here, because as soon as it looked like I got a little bit of daylight, something happened. Your issues seem to gang up on you. You can be minding your own business, and the next thing you know, number one, you get some information. Let's look at this. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. In fact, it is already in Hazazon, Tamar, that's in Gedi. He says, a vast army is coming against you, and they're already in your neighborhood. He got some information. Don't you know that's the first thing that normally happens to us? We get information. Now, how many of you have gotten information you were not expecting? Somebody came home and told their spouse, I don't want to be married to you anymore, and I'm moving my stuff today. You got some information you didn't expect. Somebody else went to the doctor and was told, we found a mass in your side, and it's stage 3 cancer. You just went in for a routine physical, and you thought you were doing well. In fact, you were feeling okay. Now you found out, as you walk out of the office, you got to deal with cancer. Or you get a phone call in the middle of the night and say, we just picked up your son and we got him on armed robbery. He's downtown in the county jail. And you saying, what? Who is it? My son? He wouldn't do that. Yeah, we got him locked up. Or you went to your job and the business was closed without notice. Now you're unemployed and you don't have a job. You didn't start out that way, but you got information. How many of you got some information before? You weren't looking for it. You weren't messing with anybody, but you got some information. Look at what the scripture says. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Here's what I want to tell you. Never let a problem intimidate you. Instead, let it motivate you to pray. Let me say that again. Never let a problem intimidate you. Let it motivate you to pray. Seek God for wisdom before you do anything else. So when you get information, go to God without hesitation. See, a lot of us, as soon as we get information, we just come apart. We fall apart because the devil will shoot you a fiery dart of information, and before you do anything, you have already thought through your own demise. He told you, we saw a little something in your physical, and next thing you know, you're planning your funeral. No, so when you get information, go to God without hesitation. Don't call everybody else you know and try to get their advice. Go to God. Somebody say, go to God. Go to God. Go to God without hesitation. Now, the scripture tells us when Jehoshaphat was alarmed, they began to fast, they began to pray, they began to seek God for whatever was going on. Now, I know we had 21 days of fasting, but some of us just fasted so we can get through, and the most thing we were thinking about was what we're going to eat when we get off of this fast. I know it because I heard you discussing it. You weren't thinking, Lord, I'm in this crisis. I'm seeking your face. I need to hear from you. I need you to move for me. I ain't going nowhere until I get my answer. We weren't doing that. We were just saying, how much longer we got to go? Oh, Lord, I was just thinking of this. I was thinking about some more shrimp, and I was thinking about I'm going to get me a surf and a turf. I'm just going to do this and that and the other. And I said, what's wrong with you? Don't you know as soon as you get off the fast, the devil going to come at you with everything he got? And some of you got some information since the fast. Some of us are going to have to leave here today and say, Lord, I'm going to go back again. I need to seek you without hesitation. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Jehoshaphat, the king, the leader. So I want to talk to all the kings in here today. And that's the men. And if you don't have a man in your house, then you're the king, even if you're a queen. It means you're in charge. He stood up and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. He sung our song this morning. How great is our God? Oh, he says, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine or coronavirus, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. So what is he doing? And I want to tell you this. Now that you have information and go to God with no hesitation, you need to revisit God's reputation. Yes, yes, I know who you are. I know who you are. Has anybody done anything? Has God done anything for you in the past? Oh, we used to sing this song, Jesus, I'll never forget what you done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget. So how many believers will stand up and say, Lord, I remember when you just blessed me when I lost my job and you stood for me and you provided for me. Yeah, Lord, I remember. I wasn't even saved, but you was working on my behalf. When I didn't have a job, you opened a door and worked a miracle for me, and I got a good job in corporate America that paid me good money. God, I know it was you. Lord, when I was sick and couldn't get well, and I called on you, I know it was your miracle hand that touched me. Yeah, I'm going through something right now, but I remember what you used to do. Now, Jehoshaphat did this while the Moabites and all the other ites were standing around getting ready to kill him. And he wasn't worried about them. He was talking to God. He says, I'm going to you and I'm revisiting your reputation. God, you got a reputation. He said, I know what you did for Abraham. I know what you did for Isaac. I know what you did for Jacob. I know what you did in Egypt. I know you brought them across the Red Sea. I know you gave them manna every day and fed them. I know you protected them in the wilderness. God, I know what you can do. So when you're in a crisis, you need to revisit God's reputation. Don't let the enemy put you down and tell you God ain't gonna do nothing. God forgot about you. Say, Lord, I know who you are. Not only do I know who you are, notice he said, our Lord and our God. You have a reputation and you have a relationship with God. Is he your heavenly Father? Is he your Lord? Is he your God? That's the benefit for your salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See, the devil is really good at, when a crisis coming, to just let you see the picture of failure and defeat and everything else. But you got to stand up and say, no. I know what God can do. Yes. Is there anybody here know what God can do? We're not talking about something that we don't know. We know, we've experienced. Some of you may not have experienced a miracle, but you know somebody. That's why it's good to testify of what God can do. So with the information and no hesitation, we need to revisit God's reputation. He said, you rule over everybody. That's my enemy. All power is in your hand. No one can beat you or outdo you or overpower you. Tell him what you know, that the miracles he did before in your life. Somebody wrote this down. There is no secret. What God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do it for you. Have I got a witness to the power of God? Oh, I like the old Baptist preacher. He said, won't he do it? Come on, he said, won't he do it? Hallelujah. He's still in the miracle working business. And he went on to say, but now, here are men from Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He said, okay, now I'm going to lay out this plan. What's going on? Now, this is where I am. Whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. Look at what he said. We do not know what to do. Anybody there? Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But he left out one thing, but he said, I know to do this. He said, but our eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, but my eye is on you. And after you visit his reputation, admit your limitations. He doesn't mind. He wants you to realize that you don't know what to do so he can do what you can't do. Admit your limitations. Lord, until you admit your limitations, you always trying to go and do something and try to fix it on your own. Yeah, I think I know what to do. I'm going to do this. You call everybody else. Girl, what I need to do? Honey, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. I'll go do this. I'll go do that. You talk to everybody except God. But he said, now, Lord, you know the enemy is all around us. They're over there, they're over here, they're over there, and they're coming to attack us, and they're coming to take what you have given us. We are powerless to stop them. We don't know how to even go about trying to stop them. But I'm looking at you, because you know. You have the power. You know. Let me tell you this, miracles don't happen until you admit that the situation is impossible without God's help. Let me say it again, miracles don't happen until you admit that the situation is impossible without God's help. Jehoshaphat said, we have no power to face this vast army and we don't know what to do, but our eyes is on you. Lord, you have the power. He said, there's two things we need. We need somebody with power and somebody to know what to do. And that's you, Lord. Come on, say, that's you, Lord. Come on, wherever, whatever you're facing today, come on, think about it right now and say to him, say, that's you, Lord. You have the power and you know what to do. Look at what happened next. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came from Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of, well, whoever he was. He was a man of God. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Don't be afraid. Somebody say, don't be afraid. And then he said, tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel, and you will not have to fight this battle. You're not going to have to fight, but take up your position. Don't stay home watching TV. You're not going to have to fight, but get in position. Get in position, take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So after you have revisited his reputation and admitted your limitation, then you need to go to God and look for a revelation. That's what you need. Lord, what do I do in this situation? That's one part that we normally miss out on. We are praying, we ask God to do it, but you didn't ask God what you need to do. Say, Lord, I just want you to handle it. Instead of saying, Lord, I need a revelation for where do I need to stand? He said, find your position and stand firm. Well, Lord, where do I need to stand? First thing we want to do, because in our natural minds, Lord, I need to get all my soldiers and line them up like this and go line them up like that and move them over here and do all of this and all of that. And God said, you know what? You don't have to do none of that. You just go out and you're not going to have to fight this battle. You know, don't you want to be in so good with God, God will tell you, you ain't got to fight this one. I got it. Don't you want to be there? I got this. That's what you want to hear. God says, I got this. Just relax. Just relax. Have peace. So when you go to God, look for a revelation. They had fasted and prayed. Now it's time to hear from God about the crisis. We need the divine wisdom of the Holy Ghost to lead us in the path of victory when the walls of destruction is closing in on us. We need to hear from the Lord. Amen. Somebody had that song, I need a word from the Lord. Just a word, God. I need to hear from you about what to do in my particular situation. God is a God that can do things in ways that we can't even imagine. Let me say that again. Because we tried to figure it out. We done everything to try to think about what we need to do. And God says, listen, let me just tell you. Don't rely on your own thoughts. He just told you, don't lean on your own understanding. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I got ways to do stuff you can't even think of. Just let me handle this.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you to continue to seek the face of God. The Bible tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear you and I will heal your land. This is the time more than ever before to seek the face of God. We're going to be doing that all month long at the Light of the World. We're marshaling our prayer teams. Every one of our members are challenged to spend a time of fasting and prayer. And we want to make ourselves available to join you in your prayer need. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a need that we can join you in prayer with, why don't you let us know? You can reach us in three ways. You can call us at 281-964-1393 and give us your prayer request. I'm going to give you that number again in just a moment. You can email us at lowcf@lowcf.org. Or you can go to our website at lowcf.org. There's a place for you to leave a request there as well. Again, you can call us at 281-964-1393. Leave your name and your request. We're going to get it to our prayer team. No matter what you're going through, there may be sickness in your family. Someone may be recovering or having this virus. Someone just need to come to Christ. Whatever our needs are, we can go to God, and He says He will meet our need. We are praying for you. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.